last people recording a podcast in 2018?
We might be.
We're like in a small group.
Kind of. It's like sort of like when movie reference, when Indiana Jones slides under the you know, the stone door and he grabs his hat. Just made it. It's the last handsome rambler of 2018, a year that has seen so many things. Aretha Franklin is gone, goddammit.
She is. What else? Floyd Mayweather just fought Tenshin.
He fought a K-pop person. Do you guys think a punch can knock someone out or a kick, or it's the same thing, you think? I mean, both could knock you the fuck out. But do you think a professional boxer punch versus a kick that someone's not expecting could knock you out?
Both. If somebody just trained to do that.
They're really good.
Oh, it's fireworks. Yeah. I just keep. They're going heavy with the fireworks out here in Maui.
Yeah.
It's only 7:30.
It's almost, I mean, I'm going to say this. I'm not going to be the Louis C.K. of just edginess, but it's almost as if we're in a Mexican neighborhood back at the crib. Kind of like, you know, Logan Square. Yep. It feels like that because I think over here on this side of town is where the people who work, the working class people live. Yep. So I saw some one-bedroom apartments on the way over here. So this ain't the fancy side of town. It's nice.
It's funny that you brought that up because one of my homies, George, he said that they used to have like neighborhood battles to see who got the best fireworks shows. So everyone would post up on blocks and try to just outdo each other. So they'd be just crazy. Like that's how they do in the Latino neighborhoods in Chicago. Yeah. They would just have straight up battles, firework battles.
I had that vibe here in Lahana.
Wailuku.
That sounds. I was listening to the Google Maps person say the Hawaiian streets, and they did good. The robot did real good ethnically saying these streets.
I don't think that's off of first try. They probably got some angry emails.
But it's a robot. Do you think they make the robots just say it better?
Robots mess up and say streets weird as hell sometimes.
Yeah, no, I know. But
I'm saying they said them streets weird, and then somebody was like, "No, Google is disrespecting my culture."
Right.
Here is the pronunciations, and they just said each street 5 times on a voicemail,
and then they put that to the programmers. And the programmers hook that shit up.
I'll be quite honest with you guys, man. I have no idea where I've been, where I've been going, where I am. I've just been hopping in the car and just going.
Oh, I swear it feels like the last few nights. We've been everywhere and back, but I just can't remember it all. What am I doing? What am I doing?
It's hard to, and you're not even dealing with that much land mass. It's just hard to.
I mean, I haven't even, there's like you said, there's like 2 Uber drivers here.
Yeah.
So it's like I haven't even been calling cars. I've just been going on the whim of whatever everybody else is doing. So I this is the first time that's ever happened to me where I just went to a strange land and just was like, fuck it, let's go.
The island culture. They going hard.
Yeah,
going
man.
But that's kind of authentic podcasting. People are getting a taste of what's really going on the last podcast of 2018.
Yeah.
If you are listening to something special. Yeah. Other podcasts, they out having fun. We working.
Yeah.
I'm having fun, man.
Speaking of new different lands, we hung out in Africa.
Yes, we did.
Lagos, Nigeria.
Let me tell you something, man. We text, chat. That trip has changed my life.
Yeah.
Of course it has.
Changed my life to where like I'm like super focused on shit. Like we about to make this movie, we about to do some other shit, we about to have fun.
And wear tunics every day.
Tunics. I've been
wearing native suits also.
Native suits.
Yeah.
I'ma tell you, that trip was amazing.
It was great.
And we kick it. I mean, it's not like, you know.
Yeah, I was watching you guys on the socials, and it was funny because it was just, like, crazy to see Hannibal in a tunic. Like, I could see Brian in a tunic, no problem.
Yeah.
And I saw that first Hannibal tunic pic, I was like, nah. Then I saw another one, I was like, nah.
Let me tell you
then
something.
Then he rocked that shit on stage. I'm like, okay, okay, okay. Somebody's getting a little fashion forward now.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell everybody how it really went down.
How did that progress?
How did the tunic progress? This is how it happened. So I
want to hear how he frames this.
Okay, how I frame it is this. Okay, so he gets there like a few days before me. So he already has been in Africa maybe 2 or 3 days before me. I get there, and we go. The first day we get there, we at the TechCrunch. It's a tech conference in Nigeria, and I meet him in the lobby of the event, and he's wearing jeans, a t-shirt, and like he had a notebook and some pens, and he's like in a hat. He's sleepy. Yeah, man, I'm kind of tired. Let's go ahead and go to this conference. We go in, take a few notes, we take a break. He's like, oh shit, I got a package at the lobby. I'm gonna go in my room. He goes to his room. He comes, knocks on my door in a head to toe tunic suit. Energized as fuck. Hey man, boom, what's up? Let's go. Africa, man. He was like an energized
yeah.
buddy.
Yeah, dude. A good outfit will do that to you.
He had chasing shoes. He was like, fuck, I think I gotta get some new shoes. He had some cream shoes to go with this shit head to toe.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like he had drank 19 lattes. Energized.
But you act like that's never happened to you before.
A fresh outfit?
A fresh outfit will pull that out of you. Dude. Like, man, I'm going to kill it tonight.
He was jet lagged as fuck. No joke. He was jet lagged as fuck. And a minute later, got a new head to toe tunic.
Yeah, I remember Babylon said, I gotta get a suit too.
I gotta get one too.
What the hell?
I'm saying it.
You're a trendsetter.
I need me a suit. That's hilarious. Oris Exclusive is the designer.
Yeah.
Came to the room, fitted us up, you know, did our measurements.
I mean, this guy hit you guys up just randomly and said, hey, let me set you up, or did you hit him?
No. I had a suit. I met this woman Glory out there. She's a singer, and then we were gonna go out to eat, and I was like, actually, can you take me, I need to get one of these suits. So she took me to this designer, Tiana. She's done clothes for WizKid and a bunch of other, I think she's done something for Sierra also.
Okay.
And so she took my measure. We went and bought fabric, mm-hmm. and then went back with the fabric. She took my measurements.
Oh, you bought the fabric separately, at another spot.
Yeah, bought the fabric at another spot, and then she had them ready in a few days. And then Basket Mouth recommended his guy also. So I had two separate tailor situations out there.
It was funny because we got our little group text,
mm-hmm.
and then he posted that picture up with him with the tunic on, and I was like, man, I've been rocking tunics. And then he's like, yeah, but your shit's not wet like mine.
I said, yeah, it's not as wavy. It's not as wavy.
It's way wavy. Because I've been rocking tunics for a minute. You know that, but it's like, I would get made fun, not by you guys, but I get made fun of. Motherfuckers are like, oh, there goes that dude with the blouse.
It's a unique look. But you got things you got to believe.
Yeah, you got to believe.
And I think the thing is, since they're custom, they fit so perfectly.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that does look nice, though. It's weird, but it looks nice. Like, you know, cause I'm staying at this resort here in Maui, and these white people are just really getting eyeballs full of. They're trying to this process of what's going on. Like, why is this motherfucker at the pool in this outfit like this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different thing.
Like,
man.
Little white kids is like you don't look from? You don't look ISIS. You look like a basketball player, but you know why you have this outfit on, but. It feels great.
It feels great. I'm rocking my all white to dinner today.
That's why. That's why I didn't wear mine.
I like your blue one the best with the stripes on the inside. That one was fresh. Like that one looked actually, because like tunics are like still on trend. Like for a while they were like, and then I remember because you know I had that men's store,
mm-hmm.
and then where I had to draw the line is you know like in Morocco men wear basically dresses. I forget what they're called, but they're like head to toe. They're like straight up dresses. Mm.
And there's no pants to it.
There's no pants. Oh. It's just it's all the way up and down. So I was like, I don't know.
Most Def was pulling that.
Yeah. And then some people can't. I mean, I'm not saying that it's whack. It's just that's where I drew the line. I was like, yeah. I can't pull that off.
It takes a special person. But it's I've worn it on stage. Felt good. How was it when you did your show on yours?
Felt good. I rocked it once in Nairobi when I did a pop-up show in Nairobi on Christmas Eve. And felt great. And then rocked it for our show.
Right, the black, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think black, you have to take it all in. Mm. You know, like the lighter colors, like, oh, that's a full. So, you know, black is like, oh, it's so classy looking. Yeah. You know, it looks sleek.
But, yeah, it was a fun trip, man. Hanging with Basket Mouth. You had some troubles at immigration, right?
Yeah, flew in, almost got deported. That's my new starter joke of my set, how a black man get deported out of Africa, which is crazy as fuck.
Powering through, telling this story through a strong 20-second stream of fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a long-ass stream. It's still going.
Oh, that's a box of fireworks. That's someone who does it. No!
That sounds like a Gatling gun.
Fine.
Yeah. Oh, no, good. Back to my immigration story.
Yeah, immigration story.
I've never felt so Mexican in my whole life.
Yeah.
To get deported.
That's your second shot at Mexicans. Which one you want us to edit out?
That's funny.
Well, let's just edit this down to like Brian talking about Mexicans and then make it like a 5-minute podcast. Mexicans, you know Mexicans.
They're crazy. No. It got so too extreme, Trim, where they had my bag on the to get checked back on the flight to get out of Africa and was printing me a ticket.
Because you had to have a visa. And the visa didn't come through. Come through in time. And so they were about to send him back, like book a fresh ticket and put him back on the plane you came on, right?
Back on the plane I came in on, back to Dubai. And I was like, I was going to break my heart. My body couldn't have taken it.
So
Basket Mouth, full blown rock star at that shit.
Yeah, he's like, you were telling me he's like a mayor over there or something, right?
He's like an ambassador, man. He's, dude, no joke. He came in and that it should disappear.
He just walked in and said, let me take care of this.
He walked in. He's like, don't worry, Brian. I'm on my way. And he was like, fuck. Like,
then he had to struggle to get to that airport because it's traffic.
Dude. Traffic was crazy, but he made it in
time. So he got there in what, 2 hours or something?
He got there quick.
Yeah. So they had you. So what were you? They just had you in like a holding room or something.
They had me like at the just sitting in between TSA and the gates. There's like the little seats there.
And you just
I sat there like all day. No, Basket Mouth came and then he left. And then Basket Mouth left the dude there just to wait with me at the airport.
So he just went and like talked to someone, and then that was that.
He posted it on Instagram, like, thanks to Colonel blah, blah, blah for...
Maybe we shouldn't even be
talking like this. Yeah. I don't know what he did.
I don't know, yeah. But he did, yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is a combo.
Maybe we shouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah, because, oh, man, I mean, Nigeria's corrupt. They know. They know.
But I got there. Best trip of my life, and I kick it, man. I can't wait to go back. It's going to be...
I think I'm going back in like March.
Okay.
Yeah, your whole, it's funny because like we can't go to a spot anymore without you being like, oh man, this is not like Africa over here. Like, you just keep, like, I noticed that you keep going back there.
Well, that's where I last was.
I mean, like,
but, and so I'm now in Maui, and I'm like, oh.
Let me tell you something. So it's like you're looking around, you see all these white people, you're like, oh, shit.
Crazy.
Yeah.
From, like, so many black people to zero black people.
Yeah, it's just insane. It's a lot. I mean, I spent a day and a half at home in Chicago. Not really, I didn't really go around that much or go out. But yeah, so pretty much straight from Nairobi, Kenya to Maui over the course of a few days. And I'm like, yo, this is, because it's just the whole, it's everything. It's just energy. It's just from going to a, from a, you know, just a bustling kind of energy to the vacation island vibes is a whole thing. Just the music and the, it's a lot.
It was funny because we went to a club. We went to a club and.
Here?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it, like a bunch of people were dancing. And he was just like, oh, this is crazy, man, because in Africa, people have rhythm and shit, because it was just people dancing all goofy.
Yeah, it was just looking at everything. I've turned into a 1980s, 90s comic. In Africa, they do it like this. In Maui, they do it like this. But you know what? It's true. It's I need a buffer place, man, in between Nairobi and Maui. I should have like hung in Miami. Miami like, for 4 days, and maybe Cuba or something, and then like Mexico City. It just bounced around just to get a bunch of different Atlanta, and just some other stuff, just some buffer cities.
New Orleans
in between, New Orleans.
But this is extreme. Like it was the black guy at the Advantage Rental Car Place. People who came with us, you know.
Yeah.
And the other two black people who at the Westin Hotel.
I have not seen any black people outside of the black people that I know.
It was a handful of folks at the show.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't really looking, but
it's like what, 0.8%?
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not it's more, and it's not even a lot in Honolulu, actually, on Oahu, is a low percentage also, but it's more, I guess it's more because of military, but yeah, it's not a lot.
Remember, so I guess that dude from Magnum P.I., T.C., he was a unique brother, huh? Remember from Magnum P.I.?
No.
That was before your time?
A fictional character?
He's a fictional character, but he was a black man who was a helicopter pilot who kicked it with Magnum P.I.,
mm-hmm,
and they would solve crimes and shit, but he was like, that nigga was over here in Hawaii in the 80s, man. So he was unique. But he had a military background.
It's funny being out here. You talk to people. I remember talking to a lot of people last trip, that people that had corporate jobs in Ohio or Michigan and just give it up, say, too cold, and then move here and be a bartender or something.
Yeah.
Just like, damn.
Just check out.
We'll just move and just, I'd rather be warm and have a flexible schedule and be able to be by the beach.
Let me ask you this. Do you think those people had that corporate job enough to put, you know, investments? You know, it's like sort of those
or did they save, you see on TV. Yeah.
You know, your average person just can't quit, be broke somewhere, go somewhere else to be broke.
It's not too much to move somewhere. I'm sure there's some people that's prepped properly.
Yeah.
And they plan to move out. If I'm gonna do this 5 years, I'm gonna put aside this much per week. This is my budget. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna spend on this. And then at the end of that 5 years, I'll be able to move to Hawaii and
be
a tour guide or something. Yeah. And then there's some people that probably just abruptly just had a breakup and said, I'm moving to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So it's different situations, I'm sure. But I just wonder about that. I'm sure there's some regret, too, when you get that sticker shock of, you know, average things costing 20, 30% more. Where you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, 2 months, $350.
Really?
But cheaper than New York City, where they're $12.
For two blunts?
I don't know what happened with Swisher Sweets in New York, man. Mob or something, man.
Man, y'all getting tobacco hustle tax. For blunts anyway. What a hustle. You throwing tax. Away all of the product anyway.
No, but it's a
that's true, man.
Imagine
you're throwing away like over 50% of the product.
No,
you know what? That
50.
Is a great point. Because you buy that shit and then you dump half of it out.
It's more than half.
More than half? All that's of it. Ridiculous.
It's like buying pre-made sandwiches and just keeping bread slices.
It's like keeping the corners. Yeah. Keeping the corners of the bread.
Just throwing the rest out. Oh yeah, now I can do what I want with this. I got it now. Let's roll this. What?
If you want to keep it simple, it's like buying a cup of coffee and then just pouring half of it out. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's a crazy business model.
It's a great business model.
I went to a rap show recently in Chicago, and it was sponsored by Philly's Blunts.
They're still
that Danny Brown show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Philly's Blunts. Whoa. Still sell Philly's? Motherfuckers still smoke Philly's?
Philly's was like paper bag.
Yeah,
they weren't even rapping. They were like the.
But that's what all the rappers were talking about. Back so everyone in the day. Was fucking with Philly's.
Back
it was brand loyalty
when they first came out. But then people realized this is a horrible smoke.
But then people started saying, "I'm on an Optimal."
Optimals.
Optimals.
Sprinkle a little snow inside the Optimal.
Garcia Vegas.
Once again, horrible smoke. I think Swisher Sweets came out with a unique. Leaf and paper that made the smoother smoke.
I love how you talk about it like you're a wine connoisseur.
Yeah, I'm a sommelier of blunts.
Yeah. All right, let's get back. How do you feel like the Africa trip has changed you? We didn't get into that.
How it's changed me is this. Like, I realized when we were at the TechCrunch, when I had that movie idea, it's like, man, we are not going to our full potential of our demographic, meaning that there's so many other people like us in the world, but we still trying to fuck with Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Or in New York or whatever. It's like Lagos is three New Yorks.
Right.
20 million motherfuckers. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Where you're, you know, Laugh Doctor, this dude was, you know, hanging out with us, giving us rides and shit, kicking it with us. You know, he has what, 200,000 Instagram followers. I got 5. And he's just gotten started in comedy. You know what I'm saying? Because it's more volume. It's just more energy. And once you get that African market, then you get Europe. Because it's Africans in Europe. It's Africans in Canada. You know what I'm saying? Where America becomes like, it's going to be there for you. But if you just look outside the box, that's what I'm about now, man.
You're a worldly guy.
Worldly guy, and I realized like it's so and just peeping how people coming up to you on the streets, you know, people, you know, like, oh my god, Hannibal Buress, what are you doing here? I love you in Baywatch.
Yeah, that actually happened today. Hey, you the dude from Baywatch? And I was like, I haven't heard that one in a minute.
You know, but I'm saying, like, it's like people think people trying to sleep like a lot of people try to act like Africa. They don't got TVs or they don't have, you know, they don't got shit.
Yeah,
where it's like, you know, they clearly got shit. They clearly plug. Everybody got a phone. Everybody, but it's sort of like been ignored. And in business, try to get in where people ain't in there yet.
Right.
Ain't nobody fucking with them. So it's like, let's start fucking with them.
Yeah, man. I definitely got motivated to just try to just really push in general. Just it also trying to hit different markets, but just really push and be more creative and productive and have a thoroughly just a higher output. I don't think I've been really
cranking it
and just kind of just really and not only I want to see what it's like when I do that. I feel like I've been coasting most of my career outside of like little pockets where I would do a lot of sets, but even then when I was doing a heavy amount of sets, doing 15, 18 shows in a week. I wasn't even maximizing that because I wasn't filming each show. Mm-hmm. I wasn't reviewing it and doing notes and, mm-hmm. and really working on the set. I was just doing them. And there's progress to be made from performing a lot and repetition and all that. But I wasn't, even then, I wasn't working it how it could be worked the most optimally. So now I'm like, okay, let's just really work shit and be thorough and push for a whole year or a whole half a year and see what the results are from that.
Because the real thing is, from that trip, the number thing that stuck with me is the dude we keep talking about, Basket Mouth. You know, he's like, he's the man over there. And when he told me how many shows he shoots per season for his TV show,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, you fucking working it, dude.
Wait, what's the show?
His Flatmates. Show, My Flatmates.
So what are they, what's the show about? What's the premise?
Flatmates, roommates.
Think Melrose Place, but African dude.
So it's a sitcom.
Sitcom. They do it in novella format. Is it 258, he said?
I think he said it was a couple hundred per season.
No, 200. It was 250 something
per season.
Per season, 250 something shows per season. They cranking out. They doing.
How is that even possible?
They doing it sort of like soap opera style.
So they're just like probably what like taping like 12 episodes in a day or some shit. How do
they
you
do
even
two or three, and they shoot for like 6-8 months? It's
that's
like
crazy,
dude. That's what I'm saying. Like crank you to make it. You know what I'm saying? Ain't shit easy in Lagos. You gotta work for your shit. You gotta to get to the airport on time. You gotta fucking work to make it happen. You gotta fucking work.
Yeah,
and I think that's what you're saying, man. It's like that extra.
Like a guy at Humble was saying, like 80% is just showing up.
It ain't that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is showing up, but then too, you just gotta. That's pushing it though, too. But I think that episodes thing is just what their market requires, or what the. That's how they do things over there.
How do you stay sane with a schedule like that?
I mean, and that. I think it's. I don't know. I mean, it working most of the year is just it probably just doing things quicker. And less takes.
Yeah. And he's probably super pro by now. I mean, because the first time you told me about this guy, you told me he was like, because I never heard of him. We were in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And you were like, there's this guy named Basket Mouth out here, and he's like crazy famous.
Well, yeah, I looked him up afterward. I met him in Johannesburg. I looked him up after that, and it was some video, one of those kind of Dateline style interviews, and where the person walks through their old neighborhood, and then they were interviewing him, and it was just children chasing him through the streets.
Dude, it was crazy. I'm like, who the fuck is this dude? Never heard of him. Dude. He was like Jesus famous, bro.
I'll tell you something, dude. How does you understand?
I was like, what the fuck? Dude. Who is this dude?
The way this nigga came into the airport when it was for the deport beat was like Jesus. I'm not fucking with you, man. He came in a fitted suit and some nice shoes and his Gucci, you know, his Tom Ford glasses.
Is he always fresh?
Always fresh. Always fresh. Always cool. Dude, he blew through there. And like, and the thing is, women from like London, from Belgium will come up. I saw you at a show in London. I saw you at the show. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like that. They just knew him from like that.
That's dope, man. He's got power.
Man, so I'm saying like, at the end of the day, that dude was inspiring for me from that trip to like, oh, I've been sleeping. I've been slacking because you know once you get in the groove, man. You know, do a couple of weight don't tell me's, and you're like, ah, fuck it, man. This is what fuck that.
You want to be a comic rock star?
Yeah, I want to be Basket Mouth, man. I want to have grown men with AK-47s acting like I'm the Beatles. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and you said, okay, so question?
Yeah.
I think one of you guys was saying like it's part of the uniform, right? That they just walk around with AK-47s.
Oh, AKs everywhere.
Just I'm saying like the cops, right?
Yeah, there's the cops, yeah.
Just AK-47s. That's crazy.
Even security guards would happen. Just us or a security guard
at the club.
At the club. Or even just a security guard late night at an outdoor ATM.
Just a fucking fully automatic.
Not even a police officer. Just it was, I'm like, the ATM though?
It was a dude at the first hotel we stayed at where we did TechCrunch. It was a man who had his own security guard, and that dude had an AK-47, and he just got in the elevator with his man.
Now here's a question: is this, are they being extra, or is this like a, is there an actual real threat where you're gonna need that fully automatic weapon?
I think it's so wild. Where I think if you don't have one, you just can't come up and not have one.
Yeah, you think it just got out of hand? Like, you got one, I'm gonna get one. All right, then we're all getting one.
Everybody better have an AK, or you better be like, you know, have two Glocks and it'd be a great shot.
That's just crazy to me that people are walking around with fully automatic weapons.
And they would have it Rambo style where you duct tape two clips together. I saw multiple dudes had two clips duct taped, so you'd fire, then you flip it around. Then you have it duct tape, and you like be a bracket style.
Oh, like a Jimmy Rig, like, yeah, like extendo clip.
Yeah, the extendo clip with the duct tape.
You know, I watched this documentary because I got into Africa internet wormhole while I was there, and jet lagged, and just up until. That's also, I was upset with myself about that. I would be jet lagged, but then I wouldn't work during the jet lag being awake when I'm just at the room from 2 a.m. to 9 a.m. wide awake. I didn't make the most out of that time. I did watch a lot of YouTube, and I found out as a 11 or 12 African countries that used to be French colonies that still have to pay a crazy colonial tax. What? Combined, it's about $500 billion a year with those 12 countries that they have to pay to France. And so those countries are kind of fucked financially because of that. And so I was reading about that, and then they said it's been going since the 50s or 60s. And when a president doesn't want to pay that, they'll just have a coup and just get them assassinated and put somebody else in power. So then, and they'll have like a warlord be president. So then I started reading about African warlords, and then I ended up finding about this guy, General Butt Naked.
That's his name?
Is that the one we were watching?
Yeah.
With the cop, right?
No.
No, okay, never mind. Go ahead.
The cop was this guy, Ahmad Rashid, in Nairobi. This guy, General Butt Naked.
Butt Naked.
Is
it spelled that way, or just spelled funny?
No, it's General Butt Naked. It's
literally
B-U-T-T-N-A-K-E-D.
But then, like, you know, so, like French.
Well, obviously, there's a story behind the name.
He fights naked, and he would get his soldiers to fight naked in Liberia. And that was part, he said, being naked gave him power. And so he'd be running through naked, killing motherfuckers. And then he killed lots of people. And now he's a preacher. And so he was going around preaching and apologizing to people whose family members he's murdered. But he was just really manipulative and kind of a sociopathic asshole about it, because he would say, "You have to forgive me." He wouldn't say, "You will. Will you forgive me?"
Like, punk out for me.
You have to forgive me.
Okay, Terry Crews is gonna play this. Okay, let's pull this back a little bit. Okay, first question. So him and a bunch of soldiers were just running around naked.
This is during a war. Yeah,
but do you have guns?
Yeah, they had guns too. Okay. Right? The gun. Yeah.
So where would they put their bullets and stuff?
I don't know, man.
They probably had bags.
That's like a backpack. I mean, that's, you know. Okay. Yeah, he probably had bags, right?
Number one, that. And number two,
or fanny packs.
He's a preacher, you said. What religion?
Christianity.
Yeah, Muslim's not gonna take that. You can finesse.
I'm not gonna get into what religion is right or wrong, but it's just that sounds like a Christian thing to do.
But dude,
I killed him. Like, forgive me.
I don't know. It's pretty wild, man.
Speaking of jet lag and Hannibal, when we stayed in Nigeria, I woke up and this dude had left me a jet lag mystery. If you remember this, Hannibal. I went to bed. We didn't have any cash. No drink in the house. No food, nothing, right? I doze off. I wake up. It's like 4:35 in the morning, right? I wake up. This dude's gone. Cash on the bed. Pepto-Bismol, drinks, snacks, all downstairs. He's nowhere to be found, and he locked me inside the apartment.
Wait, it was, physically locked.
Yeah, because you take the key and it's like a double lock, so you a person can't lock it. You have to have that key.
Wait,
to
so, unlock it. So this apartment could be served.
It's a loft.
As a prison.
It could be a strict daddy, like you have a daughter. You know, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, double sided lock.
So did you do that on purpose?
Well, I didn't want to leave a place open.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because he didn't have the key yet.
So I woke up. I'm like, man, what the fuck happened? Like, where does cash come from? Because you know, ATMs was bogus over there. ATMs was not working. It was hard to get cash. I wake up. It's just cash all on the bed.
That you can't even spend because you're locked inside.
I'm locked in there.
Also, it's mine.
I go downstairs. It's like all type of snacks on the table. I'm like, where the fuck did this fool come from, right? This dude's gone. He comes in 10 minutes later. I'm like, where'd you go, man? Like, went to an African spin class.
They have them in Africa.
He went to a 5 a.m. African spin class. He was like, everybody hasn't cut on yet. It's just me and this one lady in there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a cycling class.
Oh, it hasn't caught up. It hasn't caught on over there yet. Well,
at least the early. I mean, it was the 5:45 class. So
nobody
the evening
goes
class.
To 5:45 classes.
Some people go to 5:45. Really? Classes. Yeah, the people that want to get it in before work.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 5:45. My brain doesn't even 5:45 easily turns to 6:30.
My body
and then 7.
Yeah,
and it's the morning time.
Dude, my brain like can't even process shit at that.
You start, I don't hit up the 5:30 classes that often, but when I do, I have a great day because you just get it going. You get the brain going, energy jolt. You feel accomplished because you're done with your workout by 6:30. Your workout is in.
Listen, in a perfect world, I wish that worked for me, but I'm such not a morning person that when I hear about people just waking up and fucking doing burpees and getting crazy, I'm like, what the fuck? How does that, like, I don't know.
Guess what? Abrupt ending to the podcast. It's over. It's over.